Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy Jonathan Backer with you for another episode. We've been gone for a minute, but now we're back on NBA Takedown. I was just looking it up, guys. The last time we did an episode of the show, the Cleveland Cavaliers were still playing basketball games. They would only play one more basketball game, and it was the night that we last did our last show, May 25th. But it has been a minute. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I feel like we're going to get a message over our screen soon that says it's simple. We have to kill the Batman. The way it feels in MSG tonight. Like the vibes have never been in a more chaotic place, but I think this is the one city that can handle it all.
We're going to get to that in a second. I should just say, I am pleased to be joined by two people who are attending the basketball game in New York City tonight. Are the Nets playing? I don't think the Nets are playing. I was going to ask for a clarify. Who?
I heard there are rumors about a team in Brooklyn, but they've been
The Liberty. The New York Liberty.
Yes.
Brooklyn's main basketball team. Possibly the only one.
I'll investigate that further. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Although I was telling you before the show, I'm just annoyed at the extra hoops that I'm gonna have to jump through because the orange guy had to be the center of attention and show up at this game, and I'm just looking at the security perimeters, and it's just annoying. But you know what? New Yorkers are the most resilient people on planet Earth, and we will not let this take us down. So I am looking forward to the first finals game in Madison Square Garden this century. And the first finals game where the Knicks really can honestly say, like, hey, we can win this, which goes back to 1994.
Check your mic, Sean. I just looked it up. Shout out to Jeff for noticing that. I just looked it up. The Liberty are playing a basketball game tonight. It is not in Brooklyn. It is in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And according to the fine folks at ESPN.com, tickets for that sporting event are going for as low as $6. And as I look over on the Knicks page, it says here that tickets as low as $3,819. That seems about $7,000 short of what the actual get-in price is.
So I was just listening to Bomani Jones. He brought up a good point. Like, the get-in price, like, you see these places, people, they're putting up, like, $10,000 for nosebleed seats. Those people aren't really going to sell those tickets at that price. Like, they're going to be like, all right, if you give me $15,000 to sit in section 404, all right, I guess I have a decision to make. But if you, like, if you're a season ticket holder, or if you're like lucky enough to get the tickets to the presale, the finals presale a few weeks ago, and the stories on the timeline about people who looked at 2,200 and were like, man, this is nuts. I'll just wait. those people aren't like those tickets up there. Like those numbers, those prices are going to drop.
I'm looking at it right now. It is, I don't know what site this is. You can buy one ticket in row 3 of section 418 for $3,818.
Well, the scalpers are going to have a time. They are in a literal race against time because of the early arrival that's been suggested due to the Secret Service Arkham Asylum protocols that we're under right now. You probably have to sell those tickets realistically by like 6.
Yeah.
And the people who buying them have to be in the area. So I would say, what is it? We're recording at around 1:40 now.
1:41, mm-hmm. Yeah.
3 o'clock is when it's going to get real because none of them tickets is moving. I'm telling you that right now. None of them tickets is moving, but everybody wants to be in the building. So people are going to hold on to their resale app and wait and wait and wait until they drop to low 4 figures.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
What, Sean? Sean's, I gotta take everybody behind the scenes. I've known Sean now. I've had the pleasure of knowing Sean Hardy for, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is. I can count the amount of time, and I've seen him or talked to him after terrible Knicks losses. I've seen him in the midst of, you know, personal bad days. I don't think there are five times I've seen him as twisted as he is right now. And I could, from before this recording started.
I'm on Ticketmaster. Someone listed a ticket in our section for $31,000.
Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, that's great for them.
You know what's going to happen? They're all going to show up. They're going to have to eat. They're going to have to show up because they can't eat the ticket cost.
So hold on. So like I ask this as someone who obviously I don't go to games anymore because of everything with Knicks film school. And I also just like watching games from home. And like, I've never dealt with like the secondary ticket market in a significant way. Is there a possibility? So like, let's say someone has, like, there are people out there who are like dead set on selling the tickets. Is that a reality?
I think come down to, there are people who will say, what did Ted DiBiase say? Everyone has a price. If you give me this, then sure. This is money I cannot refuse. Honestly, a lot of these people are brokers, to Jeff's point. So they will, to Jeff's point, they're going to have to cut a deal because, again, like, I live in Westchester. It's not like I could be like, oh, I can wait till 7:30 and then buy the ticket, jump on the train, and be there by 8:30. That's not happening today. So I think the majority of people, like, the higher the price, it is people who are saying, like, all right, if you twist my arm, sure, why not?
I guess what I'm imagining is, like, you know, sure, I guess some of the people out there who are, like, have offered these tickets to brokers or like a, you know, 23-year-old just out of college kid who's like, yeah, if I go tonight, great. If I don't go out tonight, I'll go. Or if I don't go tonight, I'll go drinking with my buddies. But like, most adults have like lives and wives and children, and it's like, I'm just imagining, pretend Knicks Film School didn't exist, and I'm sitting today, and my wife is like, so, you going to the Knicks game tonight, or are we getting enough money to put our oldest child through a year of college? What's it going to be? And if my response to her was like, well, I don't really know yet. Check back with me in 2 hours. I'm like, I can imagine the fucking response that I would get from her in that scenario.
Yeah, that's a shot in the dark, bro. You know what they're trying to do? I'm going to tell you what they're trying to do. In the Cleveland game one comeback, me and Sean's boy, friend Brill, shout out to my guy Brill. He was sitting in a season ticket holder section, right? Okay. Shout out to our guy Jesus. Him and Jesus are sitting there. They're cheering the comeback. He turns around to give everybody a high five. One guy looks familiar, but you know, it's pandemonium, so he'll get back to it later. He later on figures out that the guy that he was high-fiving during the comeback was Gershon, Madison Square, Garcon, Yabusele.
No.
That was chilling in the cut, cheering on the team in the 100 sections.
That's a great story.
So, yeah, I thought it's even funnier that he didn't recognize who it was until after he left, which is hilarious, right? So, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because these brokers and these resellers are big game hunting. They're big game hunting, and they're waiting for people with that income, VIP celebs who can't get into front row, who want to be in the building. And it's just like, yo, fuck it. I'll be with the crowd. I don't care. Players, agents, whoever, that will pay the $31K because they got it. Once again, they have about 4 hours to figure that out.
Yes.
They have about 4 hours to figure that out because unless you are already in the vicinity of Midtown Manhattan, it ain't happening. No. We said the resellers have 3 hours. Everyone has 3 hours.
Well, we should say
everyone has 3 to 4 hours, depending on where you live, too. Like if you live in Long Island, you need to go out. If you're not out working in the city already, you need to go out within the next 2 or 3 hours and just figure it out there. And if it's not happening, go home. Or make your way in.
Yeah. Yeah. It is truly unprecedented. I wanted to just like take a brief walk down like memory lane of some other memorable home games in Madison Square Garden history and like try to figure out like where this ranks. But like, I don't know, man. I'm just my concern as someone who has no skin in the game in terms of like tickets, reselling the whole thing. I just want the place to be Looney Tunes from the opening tip. And I and obviously, as you know, filled with, like, you know, diehard fans, you know, fans who are going to continue. Like, let's say the Spurs get out and, you know, hit the, you know, five of their first six threes. Like, I want to make sure that building doesn't get deterred. I want to make sure, like, and you guys are, and fans like you guys, I don't have to worry about, but, like, is everyone going to be like that? I don't know. We'll see.
I think more than any other city, the bourgeoisie, who are Knicks fans, buy into, like, I would, like, because listen, to Jeff's point, the big game hunting, like, are you talking about the finance bros, the private equity bros, you know, the
and gals, bros
and gals, yeah,
sisters,
finance, you know, private equity, the Bobby Axelrods, those types, right? Although, like, like a Bobby Axelrod, who, yes, is a fictional character, but who's like a multi hundred, you know,
billions,
100 times over. Yeah. Oh, yeah, billion. He was a billionaire.
I've never watched, like, the show.
Oh, you'd love it.
I'm sure I've been told that by a lot of people.
For sure.
Like, those dudes are connected so that, like, a Bobby Axelrod probably put the call in, like, or just went on whatever and put the call in and made the paid money and whatever, yada, yada. It's the people who are like, maybe not a millionaire, but you're earning like the, you know, 500,000 to a million, whatever. Those are the ones that are like deciding. But those guys, even then, because listen, they are Yankee games, and they're nutcases there, right? That I'm not concerned about the atmosphere. I'm not, because there's something about Madison Square Garden that makes you cannot be too cool for school in that place. So even if you are the most fair weather casual fan. I say it all the time. Our celebrity fans, the recurring ones, not the ones that show up once a year or twice a year, the recurring ones, the Edie Falcos, the Steve Strippers, the Action Brunsons, the Joe Budden, the Fat Joes, the Tracy Morgans, the Ben Stillers, they're Chris Rock. They are going to bring the energy. So if you want to sit there and be too cool for school, like if Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet are losing their mind, like who are you to be like, oh my God, right? It's going to be a great atmosphere either way, no matter what.
Shout out to I watched last night the movie Contagion. You ever see that?
I heard of it.
I think I have.
Oh, you guys should watch it. It came out in 2011, but it like predicts the pandemic. I was watching that last night, and I think about it now as you're saying this, because like being in an environment like Madison Square Garden, and there probably is no environment like Madison Square Garden during a Knicks playoff game, especially this one, it is like – it's an infectious disease that is transmittable through the air. Like you could try to avoid it. You could wear a little mask. It's not going to matter.
It's equally virulent now that the Knicks are good and they are the main attraction, not the opposing team.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And which is a good transition. Speaking of opposing teams. So before we take a little walk down MSG history, can you guys think of, we could just go, since Jordan, can you guys think of an NBA ticket or an NBA finals game that was more heavily anticipated, not by general NBA fans, but by the fans of the team in the city or the fans in that city that is whatever you want to call it, as hot a ticket as this one is? And I'm looking right now at the list of NBA finals over the last 30 years. And I've scrolled it up and down a few times, and I'm trying to decide if I am a homer for saying that, no, this is the most, because like, so, okay. If you were, and the reason I say that is like, okay, let's say you're a Cavs fan in 2016, the Cavs are on, you know, game 7, Cavs could complete the comeback. That was in Golden State.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, sure. I guess you could say that was a bigger ticket for a Cavs fan than tonight's ticket would be for a Knicks fan. But I don't think it qualifies because it's in a different arena.
No. Are we considering price or vibes, like, or both? Because it's three came to mind.
Forget price, because there's no, these are the highest prices of any sporting event.
Yes.
Ever?
Sean probably got one that I'm thinking about.
All right, go ahead, Jeff.
2019 Toronto, the clinching game. Didn't they clinch in Toronto?
They clinched.
That was Oracle. In Golden State?
That was Oracle.
Are you sure about that?
That was the last game at Oracle Arena.
They won that series in six games, did they not?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The Raptors had home court advantage in that series.
They were up 3-1.
I always forget.
They were up 3. So they were up 3-1 and lost game 5 at home.
Right.
He's right. He's right.
Yeah. That was, yeah, that was the last game at
Oracle. Well, for those reasons, I'm out.
All right.
Got three, Sean?
I have three that came to mind.
Okay.
2008 NBA Finals Game 6 in Boston.
I have one, by the way, but keep going.
Because that was Boston's first titles, potential titles since 86.
So, sorry, you said 2008
Finals Game 6.
Game 6, which was in...
The closeout game.
And that was in Boston.
That was in Boston.
Okay.
2010 NBA Finals Game 7. That's Lakers Celtics. That's the Kobe 6-for-24 game.
And where that game was in LA?
That was in LA. And listen. Okay. That game, I have never wanted to watch a basketball game that wasn't a Knicks game more than that one. Like, we all went out to a bar. We went to this bar. Bar 12 is no longer there. Like,
oh, wow.
I watched it there. And the anticipation for that game, because it's the Lakers and it's the Celtics and it's game 7, and it's either, yes, go ahead.
Sean, I got to tell you, I think you're fucking nuts. The Lakers had won the previous year.
But the you're talking about like the biggest ticket, like that game
for the home, like the anticipation and the all the stuff that's going to be in the air tonight for the home fans.
Jonathan, a Laker fan is not anticipating like going through the roof for a game 7 against the Celtics at home.
One, they've won 8,000 championships. Two, one of those championships came in the prior year. They had literally just seen a championship. I understand it's game 7, and I understand if you want to say it was the quote-unquote tiebreaker for that era because the Celtics had won in 08 and the Lakers had won in 09. But like...
Oh, I don't think it beats... nothing beats the Knicks.
Well, that's what I'm trying to have a conversation.
We're making arguments.
Yeah.
Beats it objectively.
Yeah.
Objectively.
The only things you could bring to me that I will consider is the Celtics in 08.
Okay.
The Lakers in 2010. And then the third one is Heat Spurs game 7.
Which game 7? There was only one game.
Post Ray Allen 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or game 6, because if the Heat lose that game, that's the end of the big 3 era. No, it's not. That was the year before. They had already won the championship.
Well.
But it would have been LeBron only has one title in 3 years. He had a super team. He lost to Dirk. He beat a young team, whatever. But like Jeff said, nothing is beating this is the Chicago Cubs 2016 World Series. That's what this is.
I agree. It's funny you didn't say the one that I wrote down, which was the Bucks 2021, because it had been 50 years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it was obviously that was in their home arena. I think 2008 Boston is a good one. And if I was going to put one non-finals game on this list, I might go game 7 Celtics Heat when the Heat were up 3-0 and the Celtics won 3 straight. And then game 7, the Bill Simmons, sad Bill Simmons game.
Yes. Yes. Because that was like, yeah, you know what? Yes, because that would have been, and listen, I'm actually upset that Jason Tatum rolled his ankle because it robbed us of what would have been drama, like high level drama for that game.
But I don't think they're winning that game anyway. I mean, because it's like, again, the amount of time, those are good ones though. I appreciate that. This Knicks game, even though the Knicks cannot win the title tonight officially, I would say this beats all of those. And I do think the fact that there is all of the hullabaloo around it for off-court reasons as well contributes. I'm the only other thing I wanted to go through is like, when's the last Knick game that you would have put on par with this? How far back do we need to go? Or what are some other contenders?
Game 3, 2025 Eastern Conference semis.
That's a good one.
That's the yo, you want to talk about the buzz? I remember I think I had a kiddie party that day. So I couldn't go to the game, and I was like watching the game on my phone from the kiddie party. The New York was electric. That was a Saturday afternoon. Yep. Mm-hmm. The weather was beautiful. They had just taken two games in Boston, and it looked like, it felt like, yo, all the momentum was on the side. And then, as that team in that era was wont to do, they tricked the game off, right? And it felt deflating in the moment. But you talk about anticipation. First time in 25 years you were in the conference finals. You just beat your rivals. I mean, first time in 25 years, conference finals on the line. First game in your building after you came back from two 20-point deficits to win those games against the Celtics, and you had them on the ropes. Remember, that's the infamous, this is a must-win for the Knicks.
Yeah.
Down up 2-0. Remember that?
People saying that about this game.
Which is idiotic, bro. Like, how is it that they have more pressure? How is it that the Knicks have more pressure than a team that is one win away from an inevitable loss, because teams are 0-164 and down 0-3? How is there more pressure on them and not the team on the Knicks and not the team that can't go down 3-0?
I'll give you the argument. It's a devil's advocate argument, but it's an argument. It is, I think, steeped in, it's twofold. And one of these does really not speak kindly about the Spurs. One, the Spurs are going to theoretically be here for the next 10, 15 years. Whereas, we'll see. Exactly. We'll see. Because the NBA has a funny way of, you know what the NBA says about best laid plans? Go ask the 1995 Orlando Magic. Go ask the 2012 Oklahoma City Thunder. Go ask the 1986 Houston Rockets. I'm sure I'm forgetting some others.
The 2002 Sacramento Kings.
They weren't as young as those other teams, but sure. But like, you know, this Spurs team is so young. That's the thing. So that's number one. And then two, and it kind of goes hand in hand with that. I think the Spurs, and this is part of why the Knicks are up 2-0. I think the Spurs felt they won their championship, 8 days ago? 9 days ago? Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Called me a madman.
If you listen to them talk after that game, and even if you listen to them, their comments over the last 5 days or 4 days, whatever it's been, you could tell they did not approach this with the right mentality.
It's not that the Spurs thought, it's not that the Western Conference Finals was their championship as much as it was, they thought that was the harder hurdle. And then now we are now, because, again, they're kids who listen to everything and have been told, if we get past Oklahoma City, we will steamroll the junior varsity team that comes out of the junior varsity conference. Yeah. So, because there's times where you can, like, you can win that playoff series before the series, and you just think, like, you just put everything into it mentally. So you're like, you don't have anything left because you put all your energy into it. But I just think they thought, like, we don't have to now work as hard to get the title because this was the beast that we had to slay.
That's what they were told. And they believed the hype. So I'm almost wondering, Jeff, to answer your question, if like the because they lost the last two games, the air has now been let out of the balloon. It really does come down to, what is your definition of pressure? Is it like, who is under more pressure to win the game? Yes, of course the Spurs are under more pressure to win the game, because if they don't win the game, the series is ostensibly over. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if they are feeling that pressure. That's where I'm trying to draw a distinction.
Here's my question to you. Do you think the Cavs felt the pressure in game 3?
I think the Cavs were half a foot and had a couple toes in the sand.
You think the Sixers felt the pressure after game 3?
Oh, shit. After game 2?
No, I'm saying going into game 3 down 0-2, do you think the Cavs felt... Do you think the Cavs were relieved?
Sixers.
They had no pressures on the... No, I'm asking both teams. I'm asking about both teams. Cavs or the Sixers, do you feel like they walked in like, yo, there's nothing to lose?
I don't... I to
and
me,
both of them were going back home.
This is true. I think those teams, I think the Cavs series was over after game one. And I think the Cavs knew the Cavs series was over after game one. And I think the Sixers were, I think they were just kind of a broken team.
Okay.
I just don't think either of those equate.
So if we're using the young and dumb excuse, then I expect the dumb to come out tonight and cook them. Because you know what I hear? I hear, and y'all seen my clip already, so I'm not going to regurgitate it.
It was a great clip.
I hear the same script from every single team. Yo, we're the better team. All we got to do is do what we got to do. Yo, it's down 0-2. The series ain't over yet. Blah, 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 blah. They all sound the same way. It's trends versus blips with me. I think the Spurs have the capability to win games in the Garden. I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just saying we need to start recognizing what we're seeing and giving legitimacy to what we're seeing, not to what we think we're seeing, not to what narratives are telling us to see with our own lying eyes. We need to understand the history that's being made right now. This Knicks team has had a tougher overall path than the teams out west. The fact that this whole narrative continues to perpetuate that the East was far and away the lesser conference, when we have enough numbers and anecdotal evidence to refute it, just because people cannot fathom that an East team is doing this, right? This is just what it is. And there are smart people who are being swayed because they do not want to lay down and give the Knicks credit. And they don't want to give the East teams credit. And they feel like this run is you know, they're like, I don't know what's happening. Yeah. You know what's happening. You just don't want to say it. You know what's happening. We've seen this before. Are the Spurs capable? Yes. They're incredible. They're a good team. They are a worthy adversary. They have never seen what they're about to step into. And you can be as nonchalant as possible. When you look up, hey, how about this, John? How about this, Sean? You look up and you're up 15 in the second quarter. How can you be comfortable?
Who's, oh, man.
How can you be comfortable when you've given up a double digit lead and lost? You came back from a double digit lead and you lost. You know what hasn't happened yet? The FU3 game.
Yeah.
The FU3 game hasn't happened yet. You know what hasn't happened yet? The Jalen Brunson FU game hasn't happened yet. You know what hasn't happened yet? Josh Hart hitting threes in a game. You know what hasn't happened yet? The Knicks playing an A game. Okay. And shout out to Dan Devine, who had a great piece. Shout out to all your writers. All you writers have been cooking like on 100 across the spectrum. Yeah. Like we have gotten quality content across the spectrum. Funny what happens when you write about the Knicks objectively. The content is incredible, right? He made a fantastic point about how the Knicks respond after they're challenged in a series. If you indulge me for one second, I have the picture right up. 3-2. All right. So verbatim, the Hawks made the Knicks taste their own blood in round one. The Knicks responded by rattling off three straight wins by a combined 96 points. 76ers bounced back from a brutal game one, put a scare in the Knicks, 6-point game two loss. The Knicks responded by winning two games in Philly by a combined 44. The Cavs put the Knicks in a 22-point hole in game one. The Knicks responded by outscoring them by 99 points over the remainder of the series. These Knicks don't squander their opportunities. They exploit them. And now, those were games where they were on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back, they were at home and coming and going to the road. Now we got the situation reversed. Trends, not blips, guys. This is what I'm looking at.
And the other thing you didn't say is, you know, what hasn't happened yet, which has happened in every round so far? The belt to ass game. And Jeff, John, if Tony Brothers wasn't a fucking asshole, was coming on Friday night.
Boy.
Let's be thankful. Listen, let's be thankful we got that game out of the... I'm happy that was the Tony Brothers game. I'm happy because they won it still. They won the Tony Brothers game. Just to both of your points here, I sent this out in a tweet. I'll say it now. Above the break threes in the first two games, the Knicks are 11 for 46.
That's crazy.
11 for 46. Mid-rangers. And I understand mid-range is the Wemby zone. I get it. Still, 6 for 29 from the non-paint mid-range area. Like, the Knicks have had good looks, and literally less than a quarter of those good looks have gone down when you would expect from these distances around 40 to 45% of these looks to go down when you combine mid-rangers and above the break threes. It would not shock neither. It wouldn't shock me if the Spurs came out and played well again tonight. It wouldn't shock me if we got the sort of game you're alluding to tonight. Jeff, you're dead on. I, again, there's no argument against everything you're saying.
You know what? I get it. I totally understand. And I understand people want to see a fantastic series because these were the two teams when it was out of the final four that we knew, yo, we're going to watch hoops.
Wait, hold on. We've already seen we've seen two great games. We've had great moments in these
two
games.
But they want a long series.
Yeah. You know what I don't want is that, but continue.
You're right. That's what I'm saying. That's what it is. And people are so encouraged. And you know why? You know the other things, John and Sean, where we've been here before? Well, the Knicks got to lose at some point. Well, they were up 0-2. Maybe they get a little comfortable. Maybe we get a magnet ball.
Oh, that's
whatever, yada, yada, yada. Like, I have to believe in this team at some point that they are just, I think they are 15 maniacal guys who really have bought into this 0-0 mentality. And you got to remember, I was talking to my wife about this where I thought it was really insightful about their mentality. Their mentality isn't that every game is game 7. That's how the Knicks used to play. Mm. Their mentality is 0-0.
Well, who was the coach?
Which means, I mean, yeah, of course. But I'm not mad at that approach, but it's the mentality. Because if you approach every game like game 7 and you lose, what happens if you lose a game 7? You lose the series. But if you approach when you're 0-0, and you play super desperate and you lose, well, now you're down 0-1. So you got to play more desperate. It's a slight tweak in the mentality to continue your motivation. And these guys are all connected. There's no egos. It is the S-tier level, perfect version of what people envision this Knicks team to be. So once again, in the words of Mensa, I got to see a team beat the Knicks before I believe the Knicks can lose.
0-0 is the appropriate one because there is no before. Like, you are setting the tone.
Yep.
There is no prior. I mean, obviously, maybe you played it, but like the series starts tonight. They are taking the mentality with every new game. The series starts tonight, and that's how they should be. Sean, what were you going to say?
Jeff, I'm glad you brought that up because what I realized Saturday morning was, we have seen that fourth quarter collapse before. Mm-hmm. But the Knicks usually lose the game.
Yes, they do.
And this time they won the game. And I said, what was different? And listen, I've said for the longest, like we've seen, and when those collapses have happened under I've seen more of those collapses happen under the Tom Thibodeau era than I can think of all the times previous a Knicks fan. Think about all the garbage that we've been through. Well, how many times you see this team blow and they all look the same, where the league gets shrinks, and then they get tight, they slow it down. But to your point, Jeff, I'm glad you said this. When your mentality is this is a game 7, you're thinking if we lose, this is over. And then fear creeps in and fear does the work of reason. But when your mentality is 0-0, it's let's just keep doing what we do. Cause even if we lose, it's not the end. Like, it's like they say all the time. Like if you play not to lose, you'll never win.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks stop playing to lose in these situations. They play to win in those situations, and there must be like some a weight off this. Like, I don't know if Jalen, like if you go back and look at the Wemby turnover, there's a video clip where you see Brunson's eyes getting wide before Wemby lets go of the ball, because he's like, and maybe if they approach it differently, he's thinking differently.
Real quick, what's easy to forget about, or it was easy for me to forget until I went back and rewatched the end of the game, about game 2, it was a tie game with 2:59 left. They'd given up the entire lead in 3 minutes. So it was a tie game in the opposing building where the other team had all the momentum with 3 minutes left, and they won the basketball game.
Yes.
To your point, Sean. And just in terms of like recent history, I was not at this game. Jeremy was at the game. I don't know if either of you were at the game. Game one, 2021 against the Hawks, first round.
I wasn't there, no.
I wasn't there either, but.
So from what I was told, every single person I've ever talked to was at that game told me, like, when RJ dunked to, like, I think put him up by one or something,
mm-hmm.
That it was the loudest they had ever heard that arena.
That game was bigger than basketball.
Yes, it was. And I mean, I would argue tonight, given how much the Knicks mean to people, I would argue that tonight is bigger than basketball. Well, but yes, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and that series is, people forget this, that series is what started the 7th Avenue spillover. That's what started it, because they lost game one.
Lost game one, won game two.
They won game two, so they win game two, but it's May of 2021. A lot of bars and restaurants are still closed, so there's nowhere to go. So people just congregated on 7th Avenue. So I can understand why, like, yeah, that game was bigger than basketball, but yes, the anticipation for that game was, I think, the point is, John, if you do the exercise and you put every team in the league and say, what is the rank all of the home playoff games by anticipation, New York is going to be first,
sure,
second, third, fourth, fifth.
The only other ones that I could think of, I mean, game six against the Pacers in 99, where they made the finals, you know, and it was kind of like it was their winning of the finals, because again, we all kind of knew what wasn't going to happen at that point. Again, I wasn't even a fan at really at this point, but like I would be curious to talk to someone who was going to game five against the Bulls in 1993, which turned out to be the Charles Smith game.
Yeah.
Because they were still tied 2-2 in that series.
There's a game that we haven't, maybe you have it on your list. There's a game that we may be forgetting.
I mean, the only other ones of like pick your home game against the Rockets in 94, but these are the only ones. What else do you have?
What about May 8th, 1970?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's number one.
Okay. So that's number one.
That's, I would argue that May 8th, 1970, there's never been a more, because of the mystery of Willis at mm-hmm. the time, at the moment leading up to the game, will Willis play? And obviously there was no fucking Twitter. There was no shit.
Yeah. There was nothing.
Paved roads. There, you know, sorry.
Tape delayed finals.
Yeah. Seriously. That's probably the most anticipated basketball game in the history of the city, I would think.
Yes. And one of the 10 most anticipated games in the history of the league. Like, you have, like, your premier franchise hosting a game at the world's most famous arena against Wilt and the Lakers. I'm
trying to think what would...
I mean, in terms of anticipation, like, I can't think of a bigger game. I mean, I'm sure there's probably a Lakers-Celtics game somewhere.
It's funny. My mind went to the exact same place. I'm like, I'm sure there was a Lakers-Celtics game somewhere along the way that matched it, but like...
Maybe like one in the 80s or something like that.
I don't know if there's... Honestly, I don't know if there's another game in NBA history. Now, granted, the NBA was still a very young league at that time, so like, you can't compare that to like, you know, whenever the Cubs won, or even when the Red Sox won in 2004, just because of the amount of years that it had been and obviously how old baseball is. I don't know, man. Like, the more we talk about this, the more I'm starting to wonder, is like this one of the five most anticipated basketball games in the history of the sport from a home fan's perspective?
I think the fact that, you know, what was it? 1970, right? So that was the first title in what? 20 something years since the NBA had been.
So 46 was the first year of the NBA. So yeah, 24 years.
24 years. So still in infancy, still a smaller sport.
Shorter than the amount of time since the last time you were in the finals.
Exactly. Right? Oh. Exactly. It's crazy. So yeah, I just think with the way our society's connected, with the advent of social media, digital media, the way that we live in a 24-hour news cycle, the way every win and loss is compounded, 53 years, bro, and you have a chance to effectively end the game, effectively end the series tonight. I don't think you're gonna get that. Like, and I've already said that the New York Knicks NBA championship is the last holy grail of North American sports.
Yes, it is.
So for the level of magnitude, impact, and prestige, where you literally will live forever if you win this title in New York, like, you know, every player, everybody associated with the team will live forever. We'll live forever. Right? Like that, that's what's really on the line right now. Yeah. Nothing else will come close. If you want to talk to me about the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'll hear you out. Like, hockey fans, I'll throw you a bone and hear you out, because there's an equivalent. But there, that's probably the next one. Or you know what's going to be next? It's either going to be a three-peat, because we haven't seen that in a while in basketball, or it's going to be the Dallas Cowboys.
That one is going to be, that is the Knicks, that's the NFL version of the Knicks.
We're not there yet.
What?
Well, the Knicks made conference finals.
I don't think we're there yet with the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys had a dynasty 30 years ago. I think it's too recent.
I'm trying to think of who else like that matters to the national zeitgeist of fans. Like who matters to that level, right? It's the Cowboys. What we talk about, ain't nobody really in baseball. Like, let's be real. There's nobody really in baseball.
Football, it's Cowboys and Packers.
Even the Packers, it's like.
And Niners.
But they won recently.
Exactly. I'm just saying the teams that elevate to that.
I'm even thinking, like, it hasn't even been like. No drought compares to the drought that the Knicks were facing.
It's Yankees, Red Sox, and baseball, maybe Cardinals. It's and hockey. I mean, pick your original 16. I agree with you, Jeff. I think we could talk about the Lions, the Browns, the Bills. They're all arguing for second. I'm looking at the.
They're gonna try and make it the Bills, and I'm gonna be sick because whatever. But that's a whole other reason. The thing about
Maple Leafs won in 67.
67. No, they're no. The Maple Leafs in North America, they're next. Like, the basketball is to New York.
Yeah, they're almost at 60.
Hockey is to Toronto. Like, that's
they're almost at 60.
That's number two. In North America, that's number two.
Okay.
The case I make for the Cowboys is when they last won the Super Bowl, I was 14 years old. And if you told me they would not make a conference title game since, I would have said you're out of your mind. So while the drought isn't the same, in a sport of parity, where I saw the New England Patriots, who were a two-pack of ass my entire life, win six Super Bowls, and the Cowboys couldn't even get to a conference title game, and they've had how many times they lost as the one seed? How many playoff games they lost at home that they should have won?
I know.
So while yes, 30 years ain't 53, but 30 years in football combined with that fan base, it is going to be.
And the parody. And how about this? They've watched the Eagles win two titles when they had zero. They've watched the Eagles win two titles in that period before, and the Giants, right? Well, actually, they've seen the Giants win four.
Well,
since
95, 96, you've seen two Giants. Yeah. You've seen two Eagles when they've had zero. When they've had zero. They were the laughingstock of the division because they were the only ones who didn't have an old Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they've won with two different coaches, two different starting quarterbacks. Like, yo, it is, when you really sit down and think about the Cowboys struggle, it's hilarious. Yeah. It's hilarious, and it's also like, yeah. But I think if we're talking about all the North American sports, Maple Leafs are on deck. If hockey was more popular, then that would be more magnified. But when that happens, you're going to know.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, let's hope this happens. We're going to go because I'm going to let you guys get on your merry way here. I will just, since I don't know if I'm going to talk to you guys before the game, have a great time. Great time to cherish every second of it. And Just bring the vibes, man. Bring the vibes.
Yes, sir. You are
really man. Well.
That's all I got to tell you. Amazing stuff. All right. We're going to get out of here. Everybody, we will be back with another episode of NBA Takedown. I would say probably smart. Well, let's see. Maybe next Monday, but like kind of play it by ear because with obviously everything going on, it's all a little bit wonky right now. But stay tuned if you want to know when we're coming on and you want to be alerted and all that stuff. Subscribe to the NBA Takedown YouTube channel. And that is it for us for today. On behalf of Sean Hardy and Jeff Johnson, I am Jonathan Macri. We will see you on the other side.